everyone. Welcome to Past Your Bedtime. I'm Andrea Belke.
And I'm Caitlin Cook.
And we have some news. It's kind of sad news, but Danielle, our third host, is going to be leaving the podcast. So she has a lot of things going on, and she wants to get back into producing and some other projects. So unfortunately, we are saying goodbye to her. But don't worry, it's not dramatic. We're still friends. We're still going to be hanging out. But we just wanted to let you know that from now on, it's just me and Caitlin. I hope we can survive without
Hope you still love us. But she also wanted to make sure that she thanked everybody for their support. And she loved every minute of it. And her parents came to pick her up early from our sleepover. So
there's Caitlin tying it all back in.
Yeah, well, but you guys love you, Dee.
You guys should follow her and support her other projects. She's It's Danielle K on Instagram. So, all right, but we have a very exciting episode today. So our guest is someone who is really freaking awesome. She's an interior designer who's been on many TV shows. She's a TV host. You also may know her as one of the original designers on TLC's hit series Trading Spaces and the reboot. It's Genevieve Gorder.
Hi, girl.
I love this Midwest choo-choo.
I know. I love having you.
I feel exotic.
And we're all happy and smiling.
Hey, how are you? Hi. This is so fun. I like this lady.
Thanks for coming.
Moment.
I know. You are from Minnesota, right?
I am. We are a trifecta. Ohio, Wisconsin, Minnesota.
Yeah.
All sitting in New York.
I know. It's very
as soon
exciting.
As I met you, I knew I loved your energy.
It's called nice.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You don't really have an accent, though.
No, I can if provoked.
Okay.
So, like, I've been here for, in New York, I came here to college. So it's been, you know, decades at this point, more years here than I think in Minnesota. But the roots of where I'm from, and I don't know if it's similar to where both of you are from, it's so strong. It's like coming from another country.
Mm-hmm.
And it's distinctive, and I have to go back often. And it's not, you know, anything remotely traditional-based, like grabbing me back. It's just, it's so different than anywhere else I've been to in this country. So I celebrate it often.
I mean, I love Wisconsin.
You I love Wisconsin,
you
too.
You would die for Wisconsin?
I would.
Would you? Lay it down? Yes. I would, too, for Minnesota. I really would.
I would, too, for Ohio. I love Ohio so much.
Well, I used to have such a strong Wisconsin accent. There's a video of me at graduation, and I was saying, Mom, get the bag. Mom, get the bag.
Yeah.
So I had to change
I can't
bag
picture you with that.
To bag. And then I overcorrected bagel to bagel. So present day, sometimes they'll say, oh, do you want to get bagels? And then people will say, what is that? Oh, yeah, bagels.
Our accents are different, but I struggle with the same words. Bag is one I get caught on often. And with a few cocktails, my O's.
I was just going to say, when you drink.
My O's go to a place I don't think the Wisconsin, Illinois people have. It's more of a Scandinavian. You have like a more of a nasal O, and I have an O. Like a Swedish O.
Oh, yeah.
That's not so
almost
good.
Canadian.
It's all very lateral. Lateral.
Yeah.
Yes. The Canadians will say a boot for a bout, and we'll say a boat. A boat, like a boat in the lake is a boat.
Did you have to work on that when you started doing TV?
No. That's like part of what makes us. Mm-hmm. Like, I will never try and like crush any part of where I'm from. You know, I think it just gradually with time left. And I definitely have picked up New York-y accents with the word drawer. I'm just saying that very intentionally right now. Quarter. I will go into New York and four. I'll say four.
Four.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So like, I'm starting to get weird. Like, I'm both.
Do you
what
say coffee?
Are you?
Do you say coffee?
I don't say coffee. That is super New Jersey.
It's super New Jersey.
I love New Jersey, but no.
Yeah. That's so funny. There's this line. Makeup artist I work with who speaks completely neutral, just a normal, not
Nebraska.
Even an accent. And then all of a sudden, she'll just be talking and she'll say, yeah, you know, today is really good, but I'm gonna go get some coffee. And just that one word. That's so strong.
I think it's so cute. Do you guys say pop or soda?
Well, I grew up saying pop.
Me too.
And it wasn't pop, it was pap.
Pap, yeah, same. I mean, Ohio's not as strong with any accent, I feel like. We're kind of neutral.
You're a little more neutral.
Unless you go, like, south, then you hear some mix.
Okay,
but
bubbler or water fountain?
Water fountain.
Wait, I didn't even know what that was.
Have you taken the Harvard dialect test?
No.
go online after this show is over. It will tell you exactly what city you're from and what state.
That's wild.
And think about how you spoke originally. Don't edit it to how you speak now. It is nuts. Like, you say, when you're crossing the corner, like you're crossing.
Oh, I was just going to say this one. I was just going to do this one. I say kitty corner.
I say kitty corner.
I say kitty corner.
Okay. But I didn't know that there's
or
a catty corner.
Catty wampus is another answer.
I guess I say catty wampus. I don't know.
Stop it. It's not a thing.
It's from Missouri.
That is not a thing.
Diagonal. Crossing on the diagonal.
I didn't know catty wampus was a thing. But I always said kitty corner. And then this I learned just recently, a year ago when I played Survivor. I was talking to a friend who said, I feel so ornery today. And I said, what do you mean?
Ornery,
do you mean? I thought you meant honorary, and that's a weird thing to say.
Yeah.
And so we had this discussion, and what she meant was ornery.
Yeah.
I say ornery.
But yes,
a lot of people in the South say honery.
Mm-hmm.
That's
Have
wrong.
You heard that, Kaylin?
I've heard it, but I say ornery. So
I say ornery. Yeah. Okay, let me ask you this.
Say honery.
This word, LAWYER. How do you say it?
Lawyer.
Lawyer.
Okay, so in the South, they say lawyer.
Liar. It's like crayon and crown.
Why do we say loy? That makes no sense.
It doesn't. Liar.
There are a lot of things that don't make sense.
I know.
What we say and what words.
On another episode.
Yeah, right.
Of
After
how
we
you
do
talking?
Our test.
Yeah.
So it's the Harvard.
That could be.
Harvard dialect test.
Harvard dialect
test. That could be a whole new podcast. It's just the words that we say and how we say them.
Oh, yeah. If it's ever a stale dinner party, whip that out and you will run it. It's a real
That's
crowd
kind
pleaser.
Of amazing.
All right. Well, okay, we start out all of our episodes with what's on your mind. So, Genevieve Gorder, what's on your mind?
Oh, I wish I could, I had this deep Dalai Lama thought to just bust out right now, but it's not. What's on my mind is this burn that is hurting because I'm sitting here.
Oh, no.
I took out a cookie sheet last week. Hot with Brussels sprouts, like at 400 degrees for an hour. And I was wearing a little midriff top, walking around my house, took this cookie sheet out and singed. Like there is a stripe across my midriff of burn that I've been dressing with like nonstick pads for like the last And right now I'm feeling my burn. I'm thinking about my burn.
Oh,
I'm so sorry about that. And also, I'm also really sorry that all I'm thinking about are the Brussels sprouts because I love Brussels sprouts.
Brussels sprouts with a coating of skin.
Wait, so is it still very painful?
Oh, girl, I really toasted myself. Plus, I'm getting married in like a month and a half, so I don't even want to try on anything. I have loose shirts because it hurts.
Oh my God.
No, like you can see the baby skin coming in and it's slimy.
I'm so sorry that happened.
It's kind of funny though.
Are you normally really good in the kitchen?
I was wanting to swear. I'm a ninja.
You can totally swear, by the way.
I bet you both bake, don't you?
Yeah.
Wait, this is actually really funny because, my Instagram story from yesterday, you saw Caitlin.
Yeah.
There's this, you probably get a lot of random people on Instagram that DM you very odd things. There's
this
guy that's been.
Yes, so like penises.
Guy. There's this guy that's been DMing me since, I think, 2014. His first thing was a penis.
Yeah.
It was a dick pic. But then ever
casual
since then.
Casual entry. Yeah.
Yeah, it, casual. Ever since then, every other day, he would message me, hey, do you bake cake and pies? Do you? I need to know.
Because he's probably from Wisconsin. That's what we do.
Yeah, he's like.
He's been messaging me for years asking, do you bake pies?
Do you don't block him? What do you do with your weird guys?
This one's endearing in a weird way.
I don't get too many.
No, I've never answered.
He sends you dick pics and then asks you if you bake pies and you think he's endearing?
No. That's a good point. Okay, the dick
note to
was
all
long,
men
the,
suiting yeah. Andrea.
If you want to date Andrea.
Okay, but if you guys saw his picture, he doesn't know any better. I feel.
Doesn't have a full deck of cards.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah. Maybe he's not endearing now that I think about it.
I don't think he's endearing, honey.
Maybe he's broken.
Yeah. That's right. I feel like there's something off.
But do you bake pies and cakes, Andrea?
So, no, not really. I was thinking, so your story actually reminded me of the last time I had this whole fiasco in the kitchen. I came home super drunk at 4 a.m. and was trying to make chicken. That was my drunk food. I'm going to eat chicken. And then I put it in the stove and I spilled all the oil in the oven.
On yourself or in the
oven? No, in the oven. And the fire alarm went off at 4 a.m. Mm-hmm. And I live in a pretty small building and it's an old building, so you can hear everything.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it's going off and I'm taking a towel and trying to make the fire alarm
Were you clothed?
Stop. I think I was close. I mean, I was really drunk, so I don't know.
Who knows at that point?
Good chance I was. I was not close.
I guess that's another thing you learned. You
but
don't
I could
cook
hear,
meats
yeah.
at four.
Yeah, that's, exactly.
Yeah, and I could hear everyone wake up, and it was horrible. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But no, I don't really bake or cook much. Do you, Caitlin?
I'm trying to cook more. I got in a really bad like habit of ordering a lot of Seamless, so I'm mm-hmm. trying to not do that anymore. Also, it's just a lot healthier, and I feel like really crappy when I eat out a lot, just because of all the sodium and everything.
Totally.
So I'm trying to cook more. Yeah. Baking, I normally bake if I'm having like a really bad day. So it's how you know, like if you call me and I'm like, oh, I'm just making cookies. It's like, well, what happened to you today?
Or
I don't know why.
Or therapy.
Yeah. That and cleaning I do. I don't know.
Oh, God, you can come over anytime.
I love cleaning. To clean. I love cleaning.
What's your sign?
Aquarius.
Oh, God.
What are you?
I'm a Leo. We're all bosses. You're a Taurus.
I'm Taurus.
Yeah. You're the boss of air. I'm the boss of fire. And you run Earth. Nicely
amazing.
Done.
Wait, I do want to ask you something. Speaking of that, you, on your Instagram, you say you're an empath.
Uh-huh.
So what is that exactly?
Empathetic people typically just feel energy wherever yeah. they are. They may not be able to decipher what it is, what's going on. I'm not saying they're mediums or complete intuitives. But they're definitely intuitive, and we feel other people's pain. Mm-hmm. We feel other people's happiness, and we go in there right there with them. If someone's crying, I'm crying with them.
Okay.
If they're hysterically laughing, I can't stop laughing. Like,
yeah.
I ride their choo-choos.
I love
so
that.
So I think it helps me. You can't train yourself. You either are or you aren't. And I think as a kid, and my daughter is also one, you tend to just be so spongy. You take on too much. And you try and be too adult, too young, because you're just taking on all the feelings of the situation, whether there's a divorce or, you know, we're planning a big dinner party. She feels it to mm-hmm. such a way that a 10-year-old shouldn't. And I was the same way. But it's helped me endlessly in my
yeah.
job, because I don't know the people typically when I'm doing television very well. And I have to do something so intimate for them. I have to design the one space in the world that they're supposed to control and they can't, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I have to make their souls tangible through things.
Yeah.
And when I can't sit there and talk to them for 2 years like I would in a private relationship, I have to be really intuitive or they're never going to like it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to trust that, you know, that gut.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's a coincidence that, you know, you can please them 99% of the time. There's always that 1% that are never happy with anything in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Can't fix that.
Yeah.
And you know that from the very beginning.
Oh, yeah.
And you're really good at that and making people feel comfortable. I know I interviewed you on my show, mm-hmm. People Now, and I just fell in love with you. You have just the coolest attitude. You're sitting here with your cool hat.
She looks so
vibe.
Beautiful right now.
No, I was drawn to you. I was like, that's a cool chick. And that's why I reached out and was like, I would love to have you on our podcast and just chat.
Well, ditto. You know, in entertainment, you don't often meet a lot of depth, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of just frosting on the cake, but when I find cake people, I'm like, get in here. We're tribal.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I felt the same way about you. I was like, oh, I like her so much. I just like her.
I do. I want to get into your projects. But first, I know, Caitlin, you have something on your mind that happened today.
It's just really frustrating and kind of infuriating. It wasn't the end of the world, but it put me in a little bit of a funk afterwards. So, I was at the gym, which I was like really proud of myself because it was one of those things where I was like, I don't want to go today. It's really hot. Whatever. I'm going to go. So anyway, I was finishing up and I was working. I was like stretching on a mat. I was like literally about to be done. And all of a sudden I turn over to do some stretch and this man next to me who must have been in his 50s says something to me. So I take my headphone out and at first I'm not even thinking about you're creepy. I was thinking like, oh, what's going on? So he just says something awkward of like, you know, oh, long road of recovery. I'm getting over an injury. And I'm like, okay. So it's like, well, I hope you feel better. And then he said something about, well, it looks like you have your routine down. And I was like, yeah, I'm trying. And then I put my headphone in because I was just done. I didn't want to talk to you.
Did he ask you if you bake pies?
Well, he did. He kept talking to me. And I'm just like stretching with my headphones in. And I'm right next to the front desk. So I'm like kind of trying to make eye contact with the trainers. Just like, hey, I'm not really like comfortable with what's happening here. And I've gone to this gym for many years and I've never had a problem. So anyway, he gets up and as he's like putting his mat back, and as he's walking he just like stops and he's staring at me and he's like, do you do yoga? And I'm hearing all of this, but I'm just not I'm pretending that I can't hear him because I just mm-hmm. don't want to engage. puts his mat back, and then he comes over. Well, are you finishing up? And mind you, I'm not responding. Like, I'm not making eye contact, nothing. He's just talking basically to a wall. So then he goes to leave, and he's standing at the doorway just staring at me.
Is he jerking off?
No. No. If that would have happened, I would have, like, killed him. But this was just, like, and this was all of, like, 5 minutes. Like, it felt very long.
So he's kind
of
just following you around at the
gym.
Yeah,
but
I'm
just
a creeper.
Well, and I was trying to just finish and get out of there because I had stuff to do, but I didn't want to leave because he was standing. You know what I mean? I didn't want him waiting around. So I spoke to the trainers, and they were really great about it and made notes in the system, whatever. But anyway, it just bothered me. And, you know, it's like this woman came over, and she saw what was going on, and she said something like, you know, can't they give us, like, a fucking break? Like, they're out there all you know, everywhere. Can't they give us, like, one place where, you know? And I loved that I had that interaction with her. And then it also made me sad that women who witness things like this don't always feel comfortable stepping in when you actually see it happening, because then you become a target. And I've also been that person where I've seen a woman uncomfortable and I didn't really know how to fix the situation or help her out. And afterwards, I don't know, it just felt, it was kind of an interesting reflective moment for that too. Cause I was like, oh, well, that's interesting that you're talking to me about it after the fact, but you didn't come, not that that's her fault, and I'm not mad at this woman, but just interesting.
Don't you feel like there's a bigger lady team right now? Like, everyone's a little bit more vocal because we're all a little bit more raw right now.
Yeah.
I think we're vocal on both sides
of the
political situation right now, but I tend to feel like in New York, anytime I have an issue, girls are, like, ready to put on their cape and jump in right now.
Yeah.
And I can't say I've ever felt that in my life so strongly.
Oh, yeah.
Which is so beautiful.
I had a moment recently where, oh, this made me so mad. And it is where I jumped in, where I was sitting next to this guy, and there was this lady sitting across from us who had a low-cut shirt, beautiful woman. And I noticed that he was taking pictures of her.
No.
And I knew exactly what he was doing. And so I got so upset. So as soon as I knew that he was definitely taking pictures of her, I turned to him and said, why are you doing that? Why are you taking pictures of her? And he goes, oh, I wasn't doing that. I was taking pictures of the map behind her. No, you weren't. I was like, how would you take a picture from the map behind her? You're zooming in. He's like, yeah, I was zooming in. I'm like, let's see. And he pulled it up, and sure enough, it was a picture of just the lady.
Oh my God.
I'm like, that is really disgusting and horrible. Can you please delete those pictures? And I caused a whole scene on the train.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah, because I was so upset. Like, it doesn't matter what you're wearing. You can't just take pictures of a woman just because you want to, just because she's hot and sitting across from you.
Yeah.
You know?
You don't get to own that. No, I feel like we're all ready to, like, jump right now.
Yeah.
Because we're just fueled up and fired up. And that is, like, the silver lining.
Well, it's amazing,
time, you know,
especially in New York, because it's like, I was thinking about I'm going to the beach with my friend tomorrow. And the last time we went to the beach, Rockaway, we took the train, which is like a 2-hour train ride. It's awful. And on the ride back, some weirdos were there, and it was late at night. And this man went to just, like, grab me. And it struck me so much because I literally just said, don't fucking touch me. And I got up and I sat somewhere else. And it was like a very quick interaction. But in New York, people just for some reason kind of feel like they can. Granted, it's because I think we have a lot of people that are cuckoo. But it's like that barrier is broken a lot of times. So I know it is everywhere, but,
you know, raising a child here, I love that we get the full spectrum of out there. You know, growing up in Minneapolis, there was definitely a very big artistic and musical community, but you didn't have the pedestrian culture that's here, or anywhere for that matter has this, where it's like, you know, guy is wearing all feathers and a wad of newspaper, and he is singing at the top of his lungs, having a great day.
Yep.
And I love that that's part of my daughter's visuals.
I love that too.
You know, and I miss it. When I leave here, just seeing everybody out there living their life and, like, out loud.
Yeah.
I like out loud. I think that's why we're probably all here.
When you go home, how does your daughter kind of react? Because now this is her, I mean, it's her life. It's what she knows. So does she kind of go back and see, I don't know, are you from, like, a farm town?
No, I'm from Minneapolis.
So from the city.
Opposite, yes.
Yeah. But, like, has she been in places like that where she's almost like, oh, this is very different from what I'm from, or she just doesn't really register that it's
different? No, she's been all over the world. Minnesota, to her, is this perfect paradise. She calls it a spa.
I love
And I was like,
that.
It is a spa. It's all lakes. Her whole family's always like, ooh, ah. It's like sirens with long, beautiful hair waiting for her to come in. And all she does is have to be herself, and she, you know, they clap for her.
Of course.
So she thinks she's either going to live in Paris or Minnesota.
Oh my God.
What a dream.
I know.
love that she loves the root ball, you know? That's important to me. Yeah. If she totally, you know, cut that off and was disinterested, I'd feel hurt because it's so much a part of who I am. You
know? I can't wait to go home. I'm so excited. That's me riding
I'm
horses.
So jealous.
I know.
August here is the pit.
I know.
It's so hot.
It's so gross. I said to Andrea last night, we went to a movie, and as we were walking, I was like, you know, summer days really make me question if I love New York.
Well,
like,
the thing is
you can't be here in the summer. That's
the
key.
I don't like the winter here, so I want to appreciate the summer because otherwise we're going to be sad when it's the winter.
Look. But at least in the winter, it doesn't smell like urine everywhere you walk.
Yeah, well, just true. A little bit. But what I love about summer, obviously, is that we're all outside and we're half naked. But there's no relief in New York City. There's no lake. There's no breeze. There's no escape. And so you walk into half the places, there's no air conditioning. So I think our goals should really be those 2 months of July and August, you're either in the Mediterranean or you're in the Midwest. The two M's or just no go.
Yeah.
Just putting it out there.
I agree with that fully.
Completely agree. All right. Before we go any farther, we do want to tell you guys about Care Of. It's a really cool company we just discovered. It's a monthly subscription vitamin service that delivers completely personalized vitamin and supplement packs right to your door. It's super easy. You go online, you take this quiz, and it pretty much figures out what you need, what vitamins you need to take. And you did it, too, as well.
Yeah, it's kind of the best thing in the whole world because it comes in a personalized, like, daily packs. So you don't have to worry about measuring things out. They're literally just there for you already. And something that I really love because I'm vegetarian, and they have vegan and vegetarian supplements. Options. So, you know, like from them now, I'm taking iron and other things that I've been meaning to take.
Iron is always something I need to take.
I know, to help out my diet. And something else that I love about them is a portion of every sale goes towards the Good Plus Foundation, and they provide expectant mothers in need with valuable prenatal vitamins, which is super important. And I can stand behind anyone that does that.
Yes. And we have a cool deal with them. So for 25% off your first month of personalized Care Of vitamins, visit takecareof.com and enter PYB. Again, they come right to your door, super easy, and we highly recommend. That is 25% off, takecareof.com, enter PYB.
Your skin looks great, by the way.
Thank you so much.
All right, so Genevieve, let's talk about your new show. It is premiering this Friday, the 17th. Correct?
August 17th, yes.
Congratulations.
I guess that's all you and I like meet up for are my new shows. Yes. So you're using me.
Totally using you. No, you're a busy lady.
Apparently, I guess I am. I think I run best on chaos. But August 17th on Netflix, my new show's called #StayHere. And I go all over the planet. This first season's just in the U.S., but we'll be going to the Midwest next and then off to the European continent after that. And it's about Airbnbs. So how we travel, how we stay. Right now, there's over 400 million, you know, short-term rental properties around the world. As a designer, I'd probably say that less than 1% are designed well.
Mm-hmm.
And these people don't know how to be hoteliers. I mean, it's like they're just renting out a space.
Right.
Most often, these spaces look like the junk drawer in your kitchen, right? Where it's like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do with that, but I'll just put it here. That's what rental spaces look like. So it's your hand-me-downs, your leftovers, your street picks, with a little bit of polish. So it's, what does design cost? What is the value of good design? How do you become a host through design? You're not there telling these people where to eat and how to live and what's great in the city, but the things in your home need to tell that story for you. So how do you do that? And then how do you make a lot of money doing that?
Yeah.
So and that's
love
pretty exciting.
That idea, so. It's amazing.
So have you stayed at an Airbnb, Caitlin?
I have. I stayed at, I think the first ones that I really remember loving were in Ireland. And I think it was just because it was so different. It was my first time overseas. I was 18, 19 with my family. And it was just really clean and simple. Yeah. I feel like a lot of times that I've been to places here, you're right, it's very cluttered. It's like their family portraits, which is very uncomfortable.
Exactly wrong.
Yeah. It's so bizarre. And it just like sometimes the rugs feel dirty.
Well, they have cameras set up that you don't realize until you've already changed in front of them.
Excuse me?
That happened to me.
That's illegal.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Oh. I mean, I didn't know that. I stayed at this, it was a beautiful place in Dallas-Fort Worth, and I was changing in the living room, whatever, but I realized there was a camera set up. And the funny thing is this guy seems like a sweet guy. He actually asked me out through the Airbnb app. So he connects your email or whatever. So after I stayed there, he did a follow-up. Hey, did you have a good time? What'd you do in Dallas-Fort Worth? And then he said, I'm actually going to be in New York. Would you like to grab a drink? Or do
I've seen you naked.
Hour?
Yeah, exactly.
So I mean, think this guy has a video of me.
There are not a lot of filters in this wild west of short-term rentals yet. Noted. And so anyone can kind of do anything. And I think we're just starting to organize platforms and hierarchies of what's good, what's bad. But right now there was no aggregate that was, oh my God, I just did a Midwest. Aggregate. Aggregate.
For it was super
where, how to stay. So I wanted to create a collection, you know, of really great properties that people could trust that won't watch you naked, that won't have pictures of, you know, their wedding everywhere.
I was just gonna say their
wedding. The biggest problem, I think, with people wanting to do this, they all fall down when it comes to cutting the emotional tie with your space, because it is a very intimate thing in your life. It's a relationship. And once you start looking at it like a business instead of just a place in your house or your extra house or your, you know, investment property, then it starts to click and it becomes something successful. It has to be clean, has to smell great. The beds are non-negotiable, high-class sheets, all right, good sleep. No one will come back if it's bad. Doesn't matter how pretty everything else
is. That's so true.
And then you have to guide them around the place with things. What is the soul of the house? What is the soul of the place that it's in, whether it's Austin or Louisville? I want to know where I am. I don't want to stay in IKEA.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's so true.
So it's like really telling a story through your things, but carefully and without too much junk.
Yeah. I get the sense that you like cleanliness and being clean. Yeah. Have you ever, when you first moved to the city, did you ever have any bad apartment experiences?
Yeah, I slipped on a rat.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I'm
walking.
Nope, you gotta explain that one.
Back in the 90s, Alphabet City was really dirty.
What year did you move here?
I came right after high school. So I came in 94.
Okay.
So in Alphabet City, which is for all of you people outside of New York, it's kind of close to the East Village, Greenwich Village, lots of young people, lots of artists, and lots of rats. And there were so many rats that, you know, every night, all the industrial vehicles, bulldozers, dump trucks, garbage trucks would run them over, and we call them rat chips. So they'd just be flat rats.
Oh, what?
And I was walking
what?
Up. We didn't have
something out of a nightmare. No.
Horrible.
Oh my God. Where we all partied. So you're just like, whatever.
Rat chips.
Watch over the rat chip at 12 o'clock. And I probably had one too many that night and was walking. And I slipped on a rat chip and fell on a rat.
No. Absolutely not.
Roaches were a really harsh introduction to my world because we didn't have roaches where we grew up.
It's such a New York thing.
Yeah. I think the cold killed every critter where we're from. Mm-hmm. So the roach thing took me decades to really make a relationship. I was like, oh, it's a roach. I'll get it. You know, but when you first see him, you're like, holy shit.
It also depends on the size of them. The baby ones, don't bother me
when
as much.
When I can see their eyeballs.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I'd rather have mice than roaches, though. Roaches creep me out. Oh, I can deal with the mouse. But I had rats in the East Village when I lived there for a few months. And
heavy rats.
Oh, it was bad. But they weren't in the apartment, but they were living
in the
little entryway.
Yeah.
And I started to smell something.
Dead rats.
And it was dead rats, and then there was rats that had babies.
Yeah.
And they were right in the entryway. It was terrible.
Well, there's rat highways underneath the city. And so they collect in certain areas in the east side, and a lot of the oldest neighborhoods have a heavy populace.
But even when you finally have a nice apartment, so I moved to the Upper West Side, and I absolutely love it.
Are you not bored up there?
What?
You're not bored up there?
No.
Okay.
It's kind of like a nice relief because I'm on the Upper East.
I kind of need it.
Yeah.
Because I like that there's families, there's a lot of dogs, it's quiet. I don't need to live in the coolest, hippest area. I can always travel there. I kind of like having a little space.
A little separation.
Stuff.
Would you ever go to Brooklyn?
I would. I used to live there for a couple months with my sister and her husband when they lived there. And I loved it. But then now with the L train situation that's going to happen where it's going to shut down for...
They're like isolated.
Yeah, exactly. It's hard. It's going to be harder to get to and from.
But even on the Upper West Side, because I live in an older building, in the winter, I had a couple mice. And I was so bummed because finally I'm living by myself. I'd like my apartment.
Do you kill them?
So, well, what happened was I was watching the movie Get Out by myself in the dark, and I just went...
I can't watch scary
stuff. So I just... My friend Sadie had stayed over for a couple days, and the place was a disaster. I mean, there was seamless food everywhere. So I picked up everything and put it in a garbage bag and tied it up near the door. I'm watching Get Out by myself, right? And all of a sudden, I hear some noise coming from the garbage bag that I had just tied up.
Chewing.
And at first, I thought, okay, it must be the garbage expanding, right? And then I heard it some more.
Or it's the horror film coming to life.
What is happening? And then I turn on my the flashlight on my phone and filmed it or put it right at the garbage bag, and I could see the little mouse eyes in the garbage bag. Mm-hmm. So somehow when I was picking up the seamless food in the bags,
he jumped
the
in.
Mouse was in one of those bags. So I basically caught it without having to do much of anything. So I went out and threw the bag in the garbage, which is fine, right? Because the mouse can
I'm sure it chewed
out.
A hole through the
thing. Yeah, I don't want any animal activists to be mad at me for throwing a mouse outside. I didn't even kill it. Anyway, so I was pissed. I'm like, oh, I hate that I have mice. And then that same night, I kid you not, I heard some squeaks. I was in bed trying to sleep, and I heard some squeaks. And then I heard some rustling mm-hmm. around.
They're so rude.
Yeah,
at night.
So yep. I had gone to Trader Joe's, and I had one of the Trader Joe's paper bags just, you know, sitting upright in my near my kitchen. And sure enough, I walk into the kitchen area, and there was a mouse that got stuck in the Trader Joe's bag and was trying to jump out. So again, I caught another one. So in one night, I caught two mice. I was so mad. Yeah,
but you're catching them, like, in a really good way.
Without trying.
Yeah.
No traps
really
needed.
Really good at catching mice.
Yeah, apparently.
So then I had the whole exterminator thing, and now I haven't had any issues. But I caught two mice in one night without doing much of anything.
I think living here, you just have to make peace with everything lives here. And it's not a matter of if you're clean or not. It's just you're living in a really old city, and they live here too. So you deal with it. I just had a mouse the other day.
Yeah. In your apartment. Mm-hmm,
I heard him chewing at night, and I'm like... and I heard it for a couple nights, and you don't know where it is in the wall. And my daughter heard it, and then one night, sure enough, little peepers came out. I saw him. He was so cute. And I've killed things in front of my daughter. I was like, I need you to see the circle of life! You know, like, I try and make it a lesson. Because I've been a single mom for a very long time. Like, I've had to handle my business. But this mouse came out. I could not kill that night. It was not my killing night. And I had the exterminator come out. Yeah, you chew like a huge hole right in the corner of my plaster.
Oh, my God.
Just
gosh.
Had himself a time. But, yeah, I'll do what I have to do to keep it clean. I will kill. I'm sorry, animal activists. I will, though.
I mean, we had a mouse in our first. I've only lived in two apartments since I've lived here, which is crazy.
I've lived in nine.
Yeah, I've lived here 8 years.
Nine apartments in 7 years. Whoop, whoop.
I mean, I'm kind of jealous, although moving here sucks. But, first I lived in a dorm, which was very nice. But then our first apartment was, like, even further up than we are right now. Kind of a little sketchy area, but we didn't know. You know, we're fresh out of film school here, mm-hmm. a year in. So it was exciting for us. It was so small. And we had a mouse that would just come in the Cheerios box. And it was like, not a pet, I don't want to say, but we kind of just, again, made peace with the fact that it was there. Because we never, like, one of us would hear it, but we would always be alone and we'd be too, like, freaked out to do anything about it. So it just kind of became like a... house guest.
It's better than snakes. So my cousin lives in Iowa.
I just saw a snake trap the other day. I was like, who has snake issues?
Wait, you saw a snake trap?
Yes. I was in the East Village again, and they had out all of their, like, traps, and there was a snake trap.
That makes me want to die.
House.
And the shelves to buy.
What?
Yeah.
Well, so my cousin lives in Iowa, and she was talking about her place and casually said that sometimes they have problems with snakes in the house.
Absolutely not.
No way.
No.
There's no way.
I would have a heart attack.
Can I tell you what I'm obsessed with, though?
Yes.
Hamsters.
Wait.
And I need you, if you haven't looked at this yet, I'm
really
allergic
nervous.
To everything but hamsters and guinea pigs, apparently.
I had guinea pigs growing up.
Well, I want to get my daughter a pet. So we're like, we're going to hamster out. We're having a housewarming party, everything for these guys. We haven't bought them yet. I'm doing much research. But if you have not seen hamsters eating tiny things on YouTube, you need to Google that right after this. They eat tiny burritos.
Stop.
They eat tiny pancakes.
Who makes them their tiny food?
Just chefs, and it's a thing. Probably out of Japan. I don't know, but you need to talk to me after you see that because it's moving.
That's amazing. Wait, you're allergic to everything. So does that mean that you
horses,
don't have
you
pets?
Oh,
like,
no.
You've never had, like, a dog or a cat or anything?
I had a cat as a kid, and I got sick. Like, after many years of having it, it was just, like, cough, incessant cough. And I love animals. It was such a
bummer.
Stake to the heart. Yeah, but, you know, I'd rather be healthy.
But
yeah.
You're not allergic to hamsters.
Apparently, no. I did all the skin testing.
Amazing.
Like, dogs, I'm allergic to the hair, the pelt, and the saliva. Like, serious.
You're very allergic.
That would be so heartbreaking for someone that loves animals.
It sucks. Yeah. Cats especially, I love.
Trying to look on the bright side, though.
I have a clean house.
Exactly. Yeah, just going to say.
Because
recently I've been wanting a cat because I'm never home, so I can't have a dog. Mm-hmm. But a cat, you know, I grew up with cats. Like, that would be lovely. Now my boyfriend is allergic to cats, so I can't get one. But anyway. But then you have the litter box, and then you have the hair.
Is an issue.
Yeah.
Like, in home, I genuinely dislike hairy houses, and I want to get out. Like, I'm so, I hate to use this word so much. Empathetic is almost a paralyzation too. It's like the lighting's off, or there's too much hair, or the smell is off, and I gotta go. Casinos, I can't do it.
How do you deal with houses that you like for your shows and stuff? How do you deal with when you walk in and it's that, and you're like, I gotta get out of
here.
Delegate. Smart.
Claritin and delegate.
Oh my God.
No, it's just hypersensitivity, where I think it's why people never want to have designers over to their house, because they're like, oh my God, they're going to critique everything I have. And we will, but, you know, internally.
Oh, yeah, I would not want you to come over to my place.
I know.
I like my place. I think
yeah,
it's cute, but
it's so
I have
cute.
No idea what I'm doing. I mean, you're
Nobody
obviously
does.
An expert.
It's okay. I mean,
well,
you don't expect everyone to be a chef either.
I would love to see your place.
I would love
I'm
to
sure
see
it's
it.
Online. So beautiful. Yeah, I know. There actually are videos, aren't there?
We'll just
you guys can come over anytime.
We're
just
going to invite ourselves over.
We'll come over. I'll cook for you. Andrea might bake for you. Who
I
knows?
Make pies. I actually really make pies.
What's your specialty?
How stereotypical, right?
What kind of pie?
Well, I get a little weird with it because I want to turn it up. And so I'm like, what can I mix together? So I do these peachy lemons or apricot lemon.
Oh, my God.
So good because it's not horribly sweet. I don't like too
yeah,
sugary.
I don't either.
So it has a little tartness and the peaches, the sweetness. That's a hit. But the strawberry rhubarb, that's like, you know, everybody wants
well,
that.
Now we have to come over.
Blackberry nectarine.
Ooh, black. Good. Okay. Honestly, I have to like step away.
I know. Now I'm salivating.
I know.
It's
me
fine.
Too.
I'll definitely make pies if you guys want to come over. We
thank
can do
you.
It.
Yeah. I'll bring alcohol.
I make. You know what I do? I'm gluten free, but I make pies, and I have been since I was a kid. But since I moved here specifically, I'll do huge rounds of them, like a factory. I'll make 25. I give them to all my agents. I give them to all the people that I work with every. It is like you pulled out some ancient craft from, you know, old England. Like, no one knows. You made homemade whipped cream? Yeah, I put a beater in cream. And it took 2 seconds and cost 2 cents. No bigs. But it is like you delivered a cloud with lightning bolts shooting out of it to their table.
Well, I don't think people in New York really do
they don't
that.
Know how to
no.
Do it.
Just in the Midwest.
No.
I mean, we
they don't know how to hang pictures.
Well, it goes back to, like, the seamless. Like, we're kind of used to, in a bad way, getting everything kind of right now whenever we need it, whatever we need. And that's such a nice luxury that we have here that we don't have, you know, back home, or maybe you do, but I didn't. So I guess a lot of that gets lost along the way, which is kind of sad.
Yeah.
Well, they say, I think you guys fit into this generation, millennials, I'm a Gen X, that a lot of just the arts of home are being lost because we can order everything. So, for example, fabric. I design fabric. And your generation won't buy copious amounts of fabric because you don't know how to use it for curtains. You don't think of it like, oh, I'm going to make curtains out of these. I'm going to reupholster my chair. But you'll buy it to make a bag or a big. So, like, all the home industries are shifting because of this, you know, super generation that's ordering everything pre-made and not having to learn how to make it. It's not bad or good. It's just kind of fascinating. That we're totally detached now from grandma.
Yeah. Well, you're also just very crafty and artsy. I feel like most people, they just don't do that. You know?
I mean, growing up, my grandma in Ohio, she would always, like, make her own jams and jar her vegetables from the garden. And, you know, she was very much like a home person. Mm-hmm. And I don't have a garden here. So,
We also have jobs.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I know. It's like she was not working at that time, so
we couldn't.
She can make her own jam.
I mean, no, my mom and grandma make things and they work. Yeah. Too. Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, well, this was when she was older, like when I was alive. But oh, yeah. But yeah, I mean, I wish I had a touch more of that. And when I go back home, I feel a little guilty sometimes because I see people's gardens and I'm like, I wish I had that, but I can't have that in my Upper East Side apartment.
You could just buy a bunch of plants like I do and call it a garden.
We don't really have windows though. Like we have windows because I might
live in a cellar.
Well, no. No, we do have windows, but
you
we
live in a dungeon.
Are you hostage?
Guys, they let me out every week for this show. Secrets out.
Prisoner.
That'd be a very interesting story. No, but it's a really big railroad apartment. We got really lucky with it, but it kind of is unfortunate because my room is in the very front. So I have lovely windows, and then my roommate's room is in the back, and she has lovely windows to the courtyard.
In the middle.
But then
dark.
In the middle, there's not. Mm-hmm. We have a hallway where there's a big skylight, and that's like where our coat closet is and stuff. But other than that, like kitchen and living room are.
I have
nothing.
A lot of tricks for those railroads. I
would love
to live
hear
in long,
them.
Skinny ones because the row houses, too. I'm in a brownstone. It's the same thing. We're all sandwiched, so that middle section gets no natural light at all.
Yeah. Is there any tip you can give me or anyone listening?
You know, for narrow spaces without a lot of light, that midsection, it's really important that you play with the illusion of light. So it's where we use a lot of mirrors. It's where we use a lot of light colors and bring them all the way up to the ceiling, whether it's bookcases or kitchen cabinets. Don't, you know, cut them short. And then, of course, everything's on a dimmer. So you can, even having lights on in the day and not having that full blast, can feel okay in those areas. But you have to use the tricks. Otherwise, you're like
amazing.
In a locker. Yeah.
I already feel like I need to go home and like,
really do yeah. it.
That'll be $200.
Yeah, right? I've been doing a lot of like, I would say spring cleaning, but it's summer cleaning, I guess. And I just cleaned out our coat closet that hasn't been touched in like 4 years, maybe, which is awful. But I took 4 bags of trash down the stairs in 3 trips, and I took 2 trips to Goodwill. So I feel a little better about
you purging?
The space. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, you know, and I have a question for you because I have a lot of clothes. That
I love this question. I'm doing it right now.
Okay, great. So I have a lot of clothes that I feel like I haven't touched in maybe 8 years, right, since I moved here. But it's one of those things, especially for acting, where I'm like, maybe I'll need it for an audition, which you don't.
Or a Halloween
you're
costume
exactly.
one year.
Or I wore this on a first date with someone that's my friend. Like, stupid things like that, sentimental. So how... Is there a way to get past that kind of like mental block and just literally get rid of things? Because that's kind of my problem right now.
Or do you keep a lot of things?
I mean, I am a domestic hoarder. Being a designer, that's just what we do. We just put it in storage. But clothes are a big deal. And I have a man moving in, so I've had to purge a lot of things. It's like I built a girl palace. It's amazing. And now it's like, oh, man. There's a man.
You're like, I gotta make room.
I gotta
for
make
this
room
guy.
In my closet.
Yeah. Oh.
Which is like sacred space. And my closet is a destination.
I cannot wait to see it.
Is it big? Is it a big closet?
Oh
yeah.
My gosh.
And so what I do is because I have a lot of clothes from TV as well, where it's like you gotta wear something different every day. But it's not necessarily what I'm gonna wear in my real life. And I'm not gonna wear it again on TV. So I would keep things thinking, I'm going to reuse it. I'm going to repurpose it. I'm going to, you know, layer it.
And yeah.
That might be worth something someday.
Yeah. And
it's, you know, I definitely listened to The Art of Tidying Up. I don't know if you know about that book. Don't read it. Download the Audible of it because who wants
read
to
yet,
read
so.
About cleaning? Said,
yeah,
no one's
no
like
one.
Me.
You're going to lose interest real quick.
But I want the tricks. And I knowing that my clients are all probably reading this, I gotta know. And I thought the most insightful piece of that book was taking each thing, putting it in your hand, whether it's a book or a pair of pants, and closing your eyes and saying, do I have a relationship with this thing? And if there's a resonant, like, oh my God, like if this was gone and someone else was wearing this, I would die. If this book was out of my life, I'd feel like there was a hole. You'll know right away. Chances are 99% of the things are good to go.
Yeah.
But if you can make money on it too, then you're like, oh, we got to clean. And so I don't want to do eBay. It's too much work.
It's a lot of work.
I can't. I don't have the time. It's like making jam. I don't have the time. But I love it. So what I did is I talked to all my stylist friends who always know what to do with clothes. And they said there's this one store, and it happens to be in Minneapolis, where they send all their designer labels. And all of a sudden, I was like, fine, I just want to put it in a box, not think about it. I sent 12 pairs of amazing designer pants out yesterday that I just don't wear anymore. Then all of a sudden you get gravy money checks in the mail. You have to do nothing.
Wow.
And that's so incredible.
I will give you, it's called Fashion Avenue. It's in a town called Wayzata, which is a very moneyed place where I'm from. And she just makes things happen. So look it up
that's
and
amazing.
Send your clothes.
I also feel like you have a lot better clothes than
I was just going to say. And if you ever need to get rid of clothes,
no.
If you have things that you
Alexander
can just
McQueen, yes.
pass on to us on our pie day, we'll take your clothes.
Oh, and then I give it to friends too, of course, in need. And then the Goodwill stuff is like, yeah, Zara. Mm-hmm. Zara goes to Goodwill and it feels good. But just the walk down with all of our stuff is like physically getting rid of it is a hard thing
yeah.
in New York.
But it feels so rewarding. Oh. And I think that's why.
And good things come to you.
It's out. Yeah,
it's
exactly.
It's like getting rid of an old boyfriend. And
exactly.
then your new one's like, hey, girl.
Yeah.
Hey,
I'm right around the corner. Here I am.
Been waiting for you to clean that closet.
Yeah. There's so much. Oh my gosh, I have so much to talk to you about. But I want to ask about this. So. You were on Trading Spaces, the original, and you were only 24.
Yeah, I was
right?
little pickle.
That is so crazy.
It's really amazing.
So can you tell us a little bit about how you booked that and mm-hmm. also what it was like back then? Because that was before social media.
Yeah.
That was even, wait, that was in the year 2000,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, stalker guys were really different back then.
Oh
they
my
were
God.
Letter
I
writers.
Know all about it.
Oh, boy. Do you still have some of these
yeah,
letters?
I have a file that says, if I die.
Amazing. Yeah, so tell me a little bit about that. I'm so fascinated.
I think that's a good title for a script, too.
Right?
If I die, here's all the letters.
Oh,
here's
that's great.
This is these guys probably did it.
Yeah.
That was my feeling on it. Okay, how did I get there? Okay, in a nutshell, came from Minneapolis, worked a lot in the music arena there, and that was a Prince town, so that was a big deal. And then I went to college out west thinking I was going to be in international relations because I was an exchange student. I was like, I'm going to be in the Foreign Service and throw great parties all over the world, and I'm going to be that lady. And then I really found out what international relations was, and it was about, like, you know, business and politics, which really wasn't my brain. So I quickly left. And I had found design actually at this small school in the middle of nowhere, Oregon, Portland, it's called, that weird place. and I knew I needed to get to New York because it just, you heard it?
Yep, I
yep,
heard it.
There it is.
I heard it.
There's my New York,
New York.
One. Yeah. And so at 18, I moved out here with my boyfriend to a railroad apartment like you, and we had a roach problem, and one time he flicked one up in the air and it landed on my face in the middle of the night.
Absolutely
that was another not. Moment.
And then you broke up with him, right?
Yeah, he's done. And we worked at MTV together. So I worked at MTV full-time designing, and I don't know how I got the job because my portfolio was terrible, but I have to say, I think 90% of it was being from where we are from, so I'm a little malleable. And I don't think I know it all. And I don't come to you saying, I've got this all figured out, and here's what you got to do, and look at my stuff, Slick Rick. You know, I'm not...
You're like, I'm here to work and learn. And
right. I'm like, here's what I need to work on, here's what I love, and I was hired. So...
What were you designing for them?
So we designed, like, the movie award trophy, all the video
oh,
music
so
awards
cool.
stuff. So I lived a very glamorous, poor life. I think I made, like, $300 a week. And with roaches. And going to school full-time as well, at School of Visual Arts. So I was getting my design degree, working, being Midwestern, because we have to work.
Mm-hmm.
So I graduated. I went to a small studio here in the city that was really well known from Minneapolis originally. And then all of a sudden got a call out of the blue. Hey, we're casting for this design show. You know, someone you know, put your name in the hat. Would you be willing to audition? I'm like, what is this? It sounded Southern. I'm like, I am not moving. And it was from Tennessee. And they're like, we're doing an interior design. I can't even do it. I was like, no. And then they sent me all of the information about the show, which was originally from England. It was like a number one show out there called Changing Rooms. And what it was exactly how I grew up. I hate sitting at a desk. I hate being stagnant. I just get so, I'm fire. I have to move. I have to do things. I have to keep making. I hate offices. And so I saw this as potentially an escape hatch to that lifestyle. And I was making crazy things that was winning awards and that no one knew about. They found me actually because I designed the Tanqueray 10 bottle. That's what happened.
That's very cool.
I hated gin at the time. I didn't drink it. But it won a lot of nerdy design awards that nobody knew about, but which got me the audition. So I went on to audition. There were like 5,000 people that they went through over a series of days. And then they chose 6 of us.
Wow.
So I kind of knew that you know when you know.
Yeah.
I knew at the audition. I was like, I think this is mine. I don't know why, but I think it is. And we had no idea what was going to happen. I was getting a huge pay cut. We were making nothing doing this show and begging everyone's brother and sister to let us do their house in Tennessee. And then it blew up. And then your life is something completely different. My parents are like, what about benefits? I don't know, Mom. I don't know.
Were you really taken aback when it blew up, or were you, because
The English show was so successful, I knew there might have been potential for that, but we had no template and we had no guides. Martha Stewart was the only thing that we all had. And she is an incredibly inspirational, you know, person in our industry, not the most personable. I couldn't be like, hey, Martha, you know, what do I do? She'd be like, not now. we've crossed paths many times, but you had to just figure it out. So when you all of a sudden, it was crazy. It was like paparazzi crazy.
So people would actually follow you and take pictures? Because then you were in the tabloids and everything.
Yeah. We were in tabloids. We were followed around. In whatever city we go to, there'd be like thousands of people in the street. They'd throw us into garbage cans and put a tarp over it to hide us, to bring us into the house.
Seriously?
So who's going to prepare you for that? I paint walls. You know, like, really? And this is that. Because it was the first.
That's crazy.
And so, you know, I think people coming into television design think that this is a quick way to get famous or to become, you know, a G-list celebrity. It's so not. It was just absolutely a time and place and almost an accident. And the country was hungry. It was post 9/11. Everyone was home. Hmm. No one was going anywhere and no one wanted to spend money.
Yeah.
So that show just lit it up. Because it was exactly who we were at that moment. But then, after that, I went on to do, like, I don't know, 21 other shows.
Yeah, I know. You've been on a lot of shows.
A lot of shows, yes.
But that was kind of the thing that launched you, which is so nuts. And I know it's so funny, because a thing about you that we talked about when I interviewed you for People is you always work barefoot.
I did, because I was poor.
Yeah. So you were talking before about getting weird DMs and stuff, but I think it's...
Oh, my God,
people
yes.
love your feet.
In such a disgusting way. Like, there are troops of men who will just meet up at your appearances barefoot.
What?
Wait, what?
Absolutely
from
not.
Associations called, like, Barefootin', American Barefooters. Like, no. It's a thing.
What? This is like... What are those bronies? The My Little Pony fans?
Yes.
That's like
fetish.
It's a fetish. Oh my God, this is weirding.
Well, feet are, and barefooting is. So I didn't know that was going to happen. I mean, I played soccer for 15 years. They are not anything to look at.
I always am fascinated by this. I don't want to speak too poorly about people that have foot fetishes, because I have people that follow me that will comment on my feet.
Yeah.
And I have an Andrea's Foot Slave. It's an Instagram account.
We love Andrea's Foot Slave.
Is it a girl?
I don't know. Okay. I actually don't know.
But they're very supportive.
I was trying to be nice about it, because look, if as long as you're not hurting anybody.
You are so Wisconsin. It's endearing, those dick pics.
Yeah.
I just, the fetish people, I just want them to have a place.
Look, I don't know. Maybe so many people have a foot fetish.
You know, I have no problem with foot fetish. Just don't chase me around
barefoot.
With your feet.
That's disgusting.
Have you heard
or put me
of,
on your porn site.
Have you heard of Wiki Feet?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I'm on it.
You are on it. And you have a 5-star rating.
Oh.
Thank you.
300 people have voted that you have beautiful feet.
Amazing.
96 says they say nice. 65 say okay. 15 say bad. And 10 say ugly.
It's like Rotten Tomatoes.
Breakdown. Not as many people voted in my poll. But
who has the time?
No, I know. And I got very
upset. Go make some jam.
I was like, who are the 9 people that said I have ugly feet?
Yeah, right?
My feet are not ugly, but they're definitely not.
I'm looking at them right now. They're beautiful. For all the American barefooters, whatever they're called.
They're disproportionate. I'm 5'10". I should be wearing like a size 12. I wear an 8. It's weird. It's like a geisha.
No, my feet aren't that great either. So I'm surprised I have a 5-star rating as well. But
I would like to know how we're breaking down these votes. Like, what am I being judged on?
Yeah.
Is the toe thing a thing? Like, people like a longer second toe? You know, I want to know.
Wait, is your second toe longer? Uh-huh.
It means you're actually supremely smart.
Well, mine are like the same length, I guess I'm screwed. I'm really honestly really sad that I don't have a foot fan group yet.
You got to start posting pictures with your feet.
Yeah, do all some right. Instagrams with your
Actually,
feet.
Actually, I
it's
know
done.
Andrea's foot slave commented, I think, on your picture where your feet were.
I'm guessing you have great. Oh,
thank you.
I don't even.
I need to get
guess.
My toes done.
Caitlin, you have better feet than we do, and you need, you need to get on this site.
Oh, can I tell you guys something? I did something 2 weeks ago with my feet that I need to go viral for everybody in this room. All four of us.
What?
My daughter told me about it. It's called a foot booty, and it is a peel. So think about it as like a mask for your foot. And what it is, you can get them for $4 online anywhere, like from Walmart to Target, which we did. And you put them on for half an hour. There's salic acid. Anyway, it's a natural acid that you have like in fruit. And you let them sit in these booties half an hour. In 10 days, your feet peel off like bed sheets.
Really?
Huge. Forget sunburn. That's child's play. This is like, if you like to pick, which I do, it is just, and it doesn't hurt at all. So all those cracked heels, the callus comes off in like a piece. It's amazing.
Oh,
the downside. I'm
show
you a picture.
So excited. Please show me.
I'm the downside of it.
Either our listeners are into this or really disgusted. They're
disgusted. Which I will say that I used to hate feet, and now I don't really have a problem with them. So
I have no problem with feet. The thing is feet aren't a turn on for me.
No,
I've never,
I don't understand.
I don't even bother looking at a man's feet.
I don't want anyone sucking my toes. I don't want any of that nonsense.
Wait, have you ever had someone suck your toes?
I don't think I have.
You are missing a pleasure.
I'm not into that.
Really?
I can go there. But I definitely need good teeth.
Suck my toes. Or you'll suck people's toes.
Either way.
Wait, really?
No boundaries on that.
I don't think I would be able to suck someone's toes.
Oh, yeah.
Unless I know that you just had a shower.
Okay, I'm going to show you a picture. I mean,
somehow we need to do a poll of our listeners of if they would suck toes or not, because I'm so curious.
Check that out. I'm showing.
It's like
the picture of the foot peel.
What?
Yes.
That's like a snake skin.
Wait, describe
it. It's a snake.
Seeing.
Okay, so, well, I don't
I'm
know
showing
how
them
to
pictures of
it.
What the foot peel does. And basically, do you
it's
see his finger is under
skin,
the skin?
No, if you
it
will.
It looks like a snake
you
skin.
You molt. Your
it
feet
sheds.
Molt. I would recommend you do it in the wintertime.
Wait, what's it called?
Just go Google foot peel.
Foot peel.
And you'll
peel.
See a million of them. Like, okay. It's literally sheets. Look at this.
Oh my gosh.
Uh-huh.
That's
and
amazing.
And your feet feel like babies. Like I said, I played sports for so long.
Also, this is not an ad. We just
no.
really
no. We're
like
not promoting
maybe
brand.
Now I will become
and
an ad.
For 25%.
I know.
What happened though is that I was wearing sandals and I went to shoot a commercial last week and my feet decided to molt again and
oh,
I was
no.
leaving trails of foot. Everywhere. But I had the whole crew in on it. They were like, this is awesome. I had everyone foot peeling by the end of the day.
Wait, were your feet shown in the commercial?
No, thank God.
Okay.
Yeah, they were not ready. I do it in the winter.
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited. I have so many questions about everything.
I know.
I never finish any sentence. I'm so sorry.
No, it's amazing.
Tangent talking.
Yeah.
Okay, I do want to get to a listener question for us. This is from Megan, so you can help us out with this, Genevieve.
Okay.
It's long, so I'm going to summarize. But basically, Megan emailed us saying that she loves the podcast. She wants to keep this short. She dated her ex for about 2.5 years. They lived together for about 10 months, talked about getting engaged. But then, unfortunately, she says, I was his first serious relationship. He started having a lot of doubts, ended up having an emotional relationship with a close friend. It was heartbreaking. Moved out of her place, got my own apartment, took some time to try to heal myself. Eventually, got back into the dating game with some dating apps. Okay, so she had her ex.
Mm-hmm.
She's ready to date again.
He dated one of her friends. That's what she's saying.
I guess he had an emotional quote unquote, relationship with
yeah.
a close friend. Which, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They probably kissed. Let's keep
There's
going.
There's something, yeah. Mm-hmm. So then she goes into this whole thing. She met this guy on a dating app, and they were talking and hanging out for 2 months. And she was first asking, because he then kind of had a freak out, the new guy, saying he needed like a week to think about what he wanted. So she was asking, do I still try to pursue things with the new guy, or do I get back with my ex who now hit me back up? But then, if you're still following.
How old is this girl?
I don't know.
Okay.
I think she's probably early 20s.
I was just going to say, she sounds
but
early 20s.
But then, she emailed us just recently, I think it was today, actually.
Today or yesterday.
And said that it turns out that this guy, the new guy, ended up ghosting her after 2 months. Because she listened to our last podcast. I was telling you about this, Jenny,
yeah,
a little
you
earlier.
Got ghosted.
I got ghosted recently. If you listen to our last podcast, I talked to this guy for about 3.5 weeks. Completely got ghosted. So she said, Andrew, I got ghosted too. It's horrible. Now mm-hmm. she's not sure what to do. I think the question that we can address is, is it ever okay to go back to an ex? So first of all, I'm sorry that you got ghosted. It's absolutely horrible. Mm-hmm. But
I'm sorry for everything that happened, because it sounds like
Bad deck of cards.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's okay to go back to an ex. I have before, like my first love. And I think you usually go back because there's unfinished business. But know going in that that's what's happening. You're getting closure. Most mm-hmm. likely, mm-hmm. it's not going to, you know, turn into the long relationship that maybe you had envisioned, but it will help propel you to where you're supposed to go next. You know, someone once told me, you know, you've fallen in love so many times. There's so many scars. Like, she was going through a breakup of her own and asking me how I did it. I said, these aren't scars. Like, I'm loving all these people. This is a numbers game, right? We all know that. I'm falling in love. I'm having a wonderful time. And these are all muscles to get me to where I'm supposed to go. So if we look at that, like, these aren't failures. When we move on to another job, do we say, oh, my last job failed, so I have to go get this? No.
No,
you're on a journey. And so sounds like all these guys, anybody who cheats on you emotionally or more, which, ladies, we all know it's always more. You just know about the emotional. They're not going to change. And it's taught you something you needed to learn. And you need to keep moving. Use all the knowledge from all these men. The ghost probably had another relationship going on they didn't tell you about.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But don't look at it as a failure. It's lessons for you.
Well, and I think, like, my original feeling about going back to an ex is no, because there's a reason that they're an ex. And Andrea and I were talking about this before. Hmm. But I also think that sometimes, like, one of my best friends, I'm not going to name her name, but she recently got back with someone after, like, a break, if you will. So I wouldn't call him, like, an ex, but they very much took a break because they had things that they both needed to work on. So I think that's also different. Like, if you're cheated on or something really bad happens, that's very different from, like, okay, we're taking a breather, we're going to maybe come back to each other. So I don't know. It depends situation to situation. But I do think that you have to go in, like you're saying, with the mantra of, like, this is probably closure.
Yeah. What do I need to finish with this guy?
Yeah.
And get it done and have fun doing
it. And if you give it another shot and then it doesn't work out, then you got to really just separate from that guy. Because I know my last ex, oh, it's bad. It is this cyclical, toxic thing. And I love him to death.
I have one of those.
I'm friendly with all my exes. I like remaining, you know, somewhat
too.
Of friends.
Yeah.
I do. I think it's good vibes.
It's your history.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. But this guy and I, like, every time we see each other and we're like, oh, maybe we'll hang out as friends and maybe we'll try this again. It's great for a couple weeks or a month, and then all of a sudden you get back to that place that's very toxic. So I've kind of chosen recently, I just gotta love this guy from afar. And who knows, maybe in 5 years something will happen and we will be ready. But right now, I just need to appreciate him and love him from a distance. And sometimes he listens to the podcast and I love him, and sometimes we text, but we both know right now we can't hang out again.
Well, and that's the thing. I do believe if you're supposed to be with someone, you'll be with them. Like, if, you know, quote unquote, meant to be, whatever. But I do think, like, if you're supposed to find that person again, you will.
And I would say, mm-hmm. Megan, it's very discouraging when you get ghosted, because it just happened to me. And, ugh, for the last 2 weeks, I was in turmoil, because you always think, it was me. What did I do? But I will say that you'll get over this guy. I woke up this morning and walked out of my apartment and found myself just smiling, mm-hmm. because I realized, oh, I'm over that ghost. I'm over that ghost. And mm-hmm. it's such a great feeling. So right now, probably feels very fresh. I'm definitely going to email you and we'll talk about it, because I love commiserating and everything. No, like, right now I'm very happy, and I'm using it as fuel to move forward in different career things I've been wanting to do and focus on my friends and get
back out
there.
It's a great story, too. All of our worst moments are sometimes the best stories. It's mm-hmm. like, you got ghosted. I can't say I've been ghosted. I'm a little jealous about it right now, because I feel like...
The thing is I went back out into the dating world for stories for the podcast, and I was thinking maybe good stories, and this was kind of what I deserve. Like, I'm going to get back out there and get stories and podcast fodder. Well, I got my fodder.
You
got
sure?
completely ghosted.
You know, someone once told me this, I just keep this in the back of my mind, and I'm done dating now, but when I was, because you never think, like, your match is really out there. Is,
I know.
You know, and the more successful you get, the more you're like, well, who's going to be able to handle this? I'm a lot. We all think that.
Yep.
Especially us alphas.
I completely relate
right?
to that.
We're a certain breed. And so this one woman, some healer told me, she's like, listen, the universe makes an echo for everything in life. It's yin and yang. Your echo is always there, no matter who you are at whatever point in your life. The echo's there. You just have to keep that in mind and keep that just, like, to calm you. Like, it's there. And sure enough, I'm getting married again. Here we go.
Which is so exciting.
Who does that?
You're,
I don't know.
Yeah, so you're getting married in September, right?
Yeah.
How did you know? Was there a moment? Or how did you know this guy was your match?
Well, you have to try out the candy, you know, to know what you like and you don't like, you know. And I appreciate anyone who's had one relationship their whole life, you know, that was sent to you in a box with a bow. If you're super happy, that's amazing. But it's not the rest of the world. I was married for a while and in a relationship with him for almost 10 years, had a child, beautiful, blah, blah, blah. But then it was time to go. And I had this intermission, which I'm super grateful for. I think intermissions can be the most beautiful part of any relationship sometimes because you can regather who you are. I'm not the same as I was when I was 27. Mm-hmm. And I had a really serious relationship for 3 years that totally exploded and went down in flames. Another alpha. I swung the pendulum right over to the other side so I could be with my type, but competitive and not super nurturing, right? Mm. And betrayal in the end. So I took a big break, and then I went to the buffet. And I was like, I want to try everything. Yes. Yes,
I love that.
You
had some mashed potatoes and dumplings.
I'll see you on Tuesday. And it was kind of great. Like, being in your late 30s, and there's, like, this wave of divorce that happens, so everyone's kind of at the same camp together.
Eager beavers.
Yeah, but everyone's successful at that point. Like, we've made money. We can pay for dinner.
It's great dating
really
as you get
cool.
Oh, it's amazing.
Really
oh my gosh.
Cool date activities.
I'll fly to, you know, wherever tomorrow with you.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah. The worst is, like, I'm dating someone now who's wonderful, but before I was going, you know, on buffet dates, and like I went out with some people that were way too young for me. Not too young in that sense, but like, you know, maybe 22. I'm 28. I don't know. It was just like a big gap because that's a very much like, oh, so are we going to split the bill? And I'm like, oh, okay, sure. Mm-hmm. Which I have nothing wrong. I should take that back. I don't have anything wrong with that because I think that, yes, you can split or I'll pay or whatever. I'm not like that. But I'm just saying it's a very different mindset dating someone when you're older.
And when you're early 20s, most people are very insecure about career and everything. So they can't actually put that much effort into dating you.
They're climbing. We're all climbing in our 20s. That's our main MO. And we've arrived, hopefully, by our late 30s. So it's a totally different buffet.
Yeah. That makes me really excited. If I'm still a single late 30s,
it's awesome.
It's actually really good. Sounds exciting.
But then, like, any great buffet or any normal person, you want to leave the buffet and, like, sit down. I mean, some people live at the buffet for their life, and that's another breed. But then you want to sit down and have a full meal. And I knew I needed to leave the buffet, and I had a full arsenal of knowledge of what I wanted and didn't want, what I won't put up with anymore, and I broke the cycles of what I let happen to me. The guy who would always come over, my toxic guy. We all have that one guy with the animal attraction that we can't say no to, and we wish it would work, and we try every which way for the rest of our lives until we've had it, or the person who's supposed to have us comes in.
Yeah.
I said no, and once I started breaking those old patterns, it was like, and I opened my door, and there he was.
Oh, that's so amazing. It's actually really cool because 2 episodes ago we talked about breaking your patterns.
Yeah.
So I feel like we're actually learning and we're on
we're growing.
Breaking the negative patterns. Well, being open to the new thing.
Why do I always go for this one guy that never works?
Yeah.
How did you meet your fiancé?
I have never done a dating app, and I almost thought it was about time when I was ready to leave the buffet so I could kind of curate my guy. But also being, like, with the job I do, too, it's also weird. Mm-hmm. You know, you already have weird fetish people. So maybe it's just my generation. We straddle both worlds of tech and no tech. A friend of a friend that I met in Paris. I went after my bad breakup post-divorce. I go to Paris every time I break up. And I go and recalibrate. 3 days, 4 days. Because I feel beautiful. Everyone treats me great. And I can eat really good food and be around beautiful and just, like, release. And then I come back and I'm like, let's go. And I met a really amazing filmmaker friend, probably in his 60s, gay, but had this crush. And he was like, I am going to find you. You're next. I'm like, okay, I'm not really looking right now and don't need the help.
Yeah.
I come home. He calls me and he says, I have this friend of mine, mind you, he's in his 60s, so this is much older than me. A best friend from childhood. He has a little bit of scandal in his life, and it was like the senator who had gone AWOL with an affair, a mistress in South America. And I was like, Gil, no. First, he's 70, and second, no. So I thought, he has no idea, right? And then 2 years later, I'm sitting in a cafe with my best friend. We're drinking rosé. It's the first day of spring. It's May something, and it's warm. And you know when everyone's outside like,
yeah. Yep.
And I get a text from my friend. He says, are you single? And I'm like, who's asking? Because the last thing you delivered me was like, what?
And he I thought you were going to say it was that guy. And I was like, right? Oh, okay. Well, that's interesting.
Married.
Happy for you.
Yeah.
He sends me a picture of my fiance. And it was like, oh. Yes, I'm single. And he was with all the furniture he was building and, you know, former model, so knew his angles and light. And I was like, yes, dinner. And so turns out he was my former neighbor here in New York, a block away.
What?
Watched design television forever, would see me with my daughter or with my ex-husband at the cafe living my life and would always want to say something and had a little crush. And, of course, I didn't notice that because I probably thought he was gay living in Chelsea. Yeah. And and I was married. And he thought maybe perhaps this was like he was being punked. Like I was some guy named Jerry in jail with a couple beads in my hair and we were, you know, texting. And he didn't believe it. And then he asked me to dinner in Savannah. And
I love Savannah. What?
Right? Isn't that pretty wrong? Paris, Savannah.
Yeah,
right?
What?
I know.
What a dream.
And he's 2 years older, and that's so key for me, where there's music reference and mm-hmm. cartoons when we were little and pop culture that we can joke about nonstop. Because even 7 years older, it's not there.
Yeah, there's a
yeah.
those things.
So I just, he makes me laugh so hard, and I realize that's so important.
That's so important.
Every day.
That's one of the top things for me, is that you have the same sense of humor.
Yeah.
You can have just those times where you all of a sudden are belly laughing about something so silly.
Yeah.
I think humor is, it's up there.
And you can't train someone to be funny. They just are,
and you can't train someone to be on your level of humor, too, because there's a very big difference. Like, I've been out with some guys that are funny, but I'm like, you're putting on a show. This is not my sense of humor.
Or those are dad jokes.
Yeah.
Which, a lot of people love dad jokes.
Yeah.
You know, when I first broke up with my marriage and I went to Paris again, I met up with these women who are in their 60s as well. I have all these like other generation of people helping me and they're kind of witchy. And they were like, listen, here's what you need to do. Every time the moon is full, you need to write a letter about who you need. Who is it? When you're ready for who you want to join you, write the moon. The moon's a girl. We all know this.
Yeah.
And you go to the highest point of wherever you are and you read the letter out loud. And the hardest part of this is realizing you don't know what you need. And then you're not ready to write that letter. The moment you can write it down, he's coming. And so I went up and I started doing one after another. They would come in exactly. They need to speak Italian. They need to do, they would delivered within 3 to 4 weeks. I'm not joking. I have a whole bunch of people who do the same thing.
What?
It's
Andrea, we have to, the next full moon, guess what we're doing
we're
for
doing
you?
It. Yeah. No, we're doing it.
And then when they show up,
it's our why not.
You show them the letter and they're freaked out.
Do you know when the next full moon is offhand?
We just went through one. That's why everything is crazy.
But you would write specifics of what you wanted?
Think about the details. Not like, I want a brunette who has a job. I mean, those are important things. But like, really get nerdy about details. However important or unimportant, but would bug you if he didn't have. So, how does he hold your hand? How kind is he? Because kindness is the only thing that grows with age. Mm-hmm. Everything else depreciates, right? Heart is a big one. Does he have insurance? You know? Might be a thing.
Is he clean?
Is he respected? Is he
like
successful?
Yeah, does he bake pies and cakes?
Does he love pies? Does he send dick pics? Not your guy.
Right, exactly. I want a guy that does not send dick pics and doesn't care if I cook pies.
It's free.
Bake pies.
Oh my
That's
gosh.
Amazing.
You have nothing to lose.
Oh my gosh. I feel like we've learned so
much. I'm completely mesmerized.
I'm in love with you. This is amazing.
I wish we could talk forever and ever.
I know.
This is so fun.
Well, we're going to have a real like sleepover soon.
I know. Oh my gosh. Thank you so, so much.
Thank you for having me.
This is so wonderful.
Anytime.
For our listeners, when and where can they watch your show?
The new show is on Netflix. It's called #StayHere. It launches August 17th, so you can binge it forevermore after that date.
Yes, and they can follow you on Instagram and Twitter.
Instagram and Twitter, at Genevieve Gorder. We'll be talking like this for the rest of our days, so yeah, join the conversation.
Yeah. Perfect. And you guys can follow us at Past Your Bedtime Podcast on Instagram. Also, you can email us, pastyourbedtimepodcast@gmail.com. We love the dating questions. Love the stories of you getting ghosted. It makes us feel nice.
I hope that we're helping you.
We hope they're helping you. I'm going to email you back, Megan. I got you, girl. Thanks for writing those in.
Megan, you do the full moon thing, too, I think.
Yeah.
You need to record it and send it to me. I will definitely help you out along the way.
It's really amazing.
Let's
send a letter in the mail to yourself.
We're
so you get it back.
Absolutely doing it.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. Genevieve, you're a babe.
That was awesome. You're both baby.
The best.
All right. Thank you, guys. Until next week, good night.
Good night.